people that do not have a good understanding, the basic understanding of the three resurrections. Some people, well, I think there's only two, or I don't understand why there would be three. But let's go through the scriptures and see what it does say about the resurrections. And again, this is talked about in the scripture quite a bit, but Hebrews chapter 6, the chapter talking about these basic fundamental doctrines, and one of those is the resurrection of the dead. It's a basic belief in scripture, basic to our understanding of God's plan of salvation for all mankind and what we're doing here and what happens to us as time goes on. And Job's question, if a man die, will he live again? Certainly the question of the ages, and a lot of people have no clue what's going to happen after they die. Some think they go to heaven. Some think they're just done. Others float around in a cloud or whatever. But what does the scripture say about life and death? To explain this, we first need to see what the state of man is. And by that, I'm going to talk about the three classes of people there are that will be resurrected. One is righteous people, and I'll go on to explain this as we go on, but I mean really righteous from God's perspective, meaning that the sacrifice of Christ has been applied to them, and their sins have been washed away, and they've received God's Spirit. The other are uncalled people, and I'll use that terminology, and I think it's one that we all understand. It's people who, they haven't had their minds open to the truth. They're out there going along and believing whatever they believe, but God just hasn't turned that light on with his Spirit yet. And this would be the vast majority of mankind. So when I talk about uncalled people, according to scripture, we're talking about billions. The righteous people, we would get into the multiple thousands. And then there's a smaller group than the righteous people. I hope I didn't blind anybody with that. And that would be the unfaithful people. That would be those who had at one time been the righteous people, who had their mind open. They could see the truth. They responded to it. Received God's Spirit, and then turned their back on it and rejected it. From my perspective, looking at the scripture, I think that'll be a relatively small group of people. Maybe in the thousands is my guess. You know, it's God is the judge of all people, so I think this would be the smallest group of people. So let's go on and discuss this, and we'll discuss it from state of man through history. In other words, you got Adam and Eve all the way through to the return of Christ just before the millennium, 6,000 years approximately of mankind's history. And we'll talk about the state of man, these individuals through the 6,000 years of history and see what's going to happen to them eventually. So, beginning with some at the very beginning, you know, it talks about Noah, the eighth preacher of righteousness. And so we know there were seven people at least before him who were faithful, because it calls him the eighth preacher of righteousness. Whatever. I don't know how many there were in the Old Testament, relatively few. The scripture says that many in the old wanted to know but weren't shown that which you have been shown. The prophets, Abraham certainly, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, David, there would be probably a number of hundred. Actually, Hebrews talks about the faith chapter. They had faith, and I would assume that they would be among the righteous. And then you find more being added after 31 AD, after Christ was on earth and preached and the church was established. There were 5,000 baptized in one day and 3,000 in another, and there were many thousands who were called. And you get into this through history and through time in the last 2,000 years, there would be several thousands, and scripture to back that number up, and I think we get to that after a little bit. But, so through this 6,000 years of history, there have been righteous people who have died. James 1 verse 18, he says, he brought us forth by the word of truth that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. And so the ones he reveals the truth to, they have enough knowledge and understanding to know and to follow God are called the first fruits. But they die. And Sue, I didn't do this just for you today, but I'm glad you're here. You feel comfortable. So when we put somebody down here, we're talking about the grave. So let's just, when they go down below the white line, they're dead. Okay, so through 6,000 years of history, righteous people die, right? Okay. Hebrews 11:13 says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises. So they're not floating around up in heaven somewhere. Person dies, he's dead. David died and his sepulcher is with us to this day. So anyone who has died to this point except Jesus Christ is dead. So now let's talk about through 6,000 years of history, there's the uncalled. Cain slew Abel. I would say he was one of the unrighteous, the uncalled. Let's not put him in unrighteous, although I don't believe he was called before he died. And it would be most of mankind through history that live their lives and they die. 2 Corinthians 4:4 describes him this way. It says, the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that do not believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. For his reasons, and I believe it's for the sake of doing all things decently and in order, he has a plan. And you call a few at this time, and then you call others that those few will serve and to bring along into God's way. And then those people will eventually be, other people will be changed to spirit being, and they'll teach the billions later. We'll get to that. Okay, so just a lot of people, most of the world are just not called. It doesn't mean they're just inherently bad people or anything, any worse than we are. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but they're just not called. So through history, people who have not been called have died. Now, of course, there are still people, you know, up here that are, you know, in this last part. Jim, that's not close enough, is it? There, the last part. Got it way here at the end. There are still people alive right now like you and I, you know, who are the righteous. There are billions of people who are the uncalled. Okay, right up before this time. Everybody else here, the uncalled dead. Okay. Romans 10 verse 3 says, for not knowing about God's righteousness, because they weren't called, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. It's not their fault. The mind's not open. It's not open. Okay. But they're dead. Also through 6,000 years of history, there have been the unrighteous rebellious. That is, again, those who had the knowledge of the truth and who at one point turned their back on it. Hebrews 10:26 describes it this way, if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth. We just read that most people, the uncalled, didn't understand the righteousness because their minds weren't open. These are people who received the knowledge of the truth, who acted upon it, who accepted that sacrifice. It says remains no longer a sacrifice for sins, because you took that sacrifice of Christ upon you and then you rejected it knowingly. Okay, so I think it's a small group of people overall. There are people that disagree and you can't. And we're not going to know until God makes that final decision. So through the ages, the unrighteous, rebellious, after having been called, die. Okay. So right now, under the earth or in the seas, wherever it is, you've got the righteous dead, the uncalled dead, and the unrighteous dead. Okay, now we're going to begin talking about the resurrections of these people. And when you understand there are two types of resurrections. John 5:28 says, "Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice." Okay, it says any human being, and other scriptures will back this up, who has died will be resurrected and come out. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life. Those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. Now, again, there are a couple of resurrections this resurrection of judgment can entail, and one would be at the last great day, the great white throne judgment, where people do then have a chance to do right or wrong. Okay. And there's another resurrection to judgment, which is, we'll get to that at the end. Acts chapter 24:15, it says, "There shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust." Okay. More than one resurrection, certainly. Now, you might be wondering, well, there have been resurrections already. Let's just talk about those resurrections up to Christ's return. Elijah resurrected a child. Elisha resurrected a child. There was a man resurrected when he was thrown in Elisha's grave. Jesus resurrected a child. Jesus resurrected Lazarus. Jesus resurrected a man at a funeral. There were people that were resurrected at Jesus' death when he died. Sun grew dark and the earthquake happened and these people came up. Now all these resurrections are a resurrection to a little bit longer physical life. All of these resurrections were that way. In other words, the child that Elijah resurrected, it was resurrected and lived until, I don't know, it was 50 years old or 75 years old or however old that child was, and then it died. And it's one of those that are in the grave. Okay, the people resurrected at Jesus' death. Yes, the earthquake happened, they got up, and they had died apparently shortly before that. And now they're resurrected, kind of like Lazarus, maybe even stank for a little bit. And then, if they were 35 when they died, maybe they lived till 50 or 80 or whatever. But they died. It was a physical resurrection to physical life temporarily. Peter resurrected Tabitha. Paul resurrected a man at services. And by the way, this is when the guy fell over backwards because he wasn't paying attention during church. So, and I do not have the power to resurrect, so it's a warning. The two witnesses, it kind of appears as though after 3 days and three nights, it says that there was some breath in them, so it'd be a physical resurrection, and then that seventh trumpet blows, and then they have the spiritual resurrection shortly thereafter. If it's all in one, well, it's okay, we'll see yet. Can't prove that at this point. Okay. The premier resurrection is the resurrection of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 16, and this was the first resurrection to spirit. From physical to spirit. 1 Corinthians 15:16, "And if there's no resurrection of the dead, and Christ hasn't been raised, and if Christ hasn't been raised, your faith is useless, you're still guilty of your sins. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. So this resurrection of Christ is the most important one, because if that didn't happen, then we can just forget about the rest and we can all go home. But, verse 20, in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, and he is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. And he's talking about a spiritual resurrection to spirit life. He was in the grave 3 days and three nights. He rose up, and then he was accepted to God, and he went up to heaven, and then came back down and dealt with people for a while, but he was spirit being, and that's what your baptism is all about. And it says your baptism, that you put your old person down and you come up in symbolism with God's spirit, and you're a different person in character with God's spirit. But anyway, that's the most important of the resurrections. Okay, so now let's go back to our dead, righteous dead, uncalled dead, and the unrighteous dead. We got 6,000 years of history, and now Christ returns. Okay, in the somewhat very near future. 1 Corinthians 15:23, but there is an order to this resurrection. Christ was raised as the first of the harvest, and then all who belong to Christ will be raised when he comes back. And so you've got all these people in the ground up until the time that Christ returns, and then they are resurrected. Now, that is not heaven, okay? It's not resurrected, go to heaven. It says we'll meet Christ in the air, fight this battle with him, and then we'll live and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Okay, but this is to delineate between the people living on earth, the people that are dead on earth, and what happens after you're resurrected. The righteous dead are resurrected. They're the first fruits. Okay. 1 Thessalonians 4. This is the one that says, I would not have you ignorant concerning those that are dead. And it talks about those who are faithful in Christ. At the return of Christ, at the final trumpet, will be raised and changed. Okay, we won't take the time to go through that one. Go ahead and turn to Revelation 20 if you're turning. Or if you're tapping on your device, whatever it is you're doing. Revelation chapter 20, also known as resurrection chapter, along with 1 Corinthians 15. But it says, verse 4, and I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. And then I saw the souls of them who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and the word of God, who hadn't worshipped the beast or his image. And the last part it says, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. So it was talking about the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness. They're not like hovering somewhere. They're in the ground. It's just saying that they served God faithfully. And it would be any who served God faithfully, who knew and understood the truth. And then they are raised up and live and reign with Christ for 1,000 years here on earth in this millennium. And verse 5 says, but the rest of the dead did not live again till 1,000 years were finished. When it says the rest of the dead here in verse 5, it's these uncalled dead. Okay, so there are people who lived during 6,000 years and died and are still dead. And it said they don't live again until 1,000 years are finished. Okay, so there's the one resurrection of the faithful, the first fruits. And it says then the rest of the dead don't live until 1,000 years are finished. And referring back to verse 4, it says this is the first resurrection. So the first resurrection is the first fruits when Christ returns. And if there's a first, it said the second is after 1,000 years are finished. And it says, blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power. But now he's giving a little insight into the third resurrection. Because these people live their lives at whatever period here. Maddie died right in there somewhere. Okay. And she will be resurrected at the return of Christ. And she will be among the first fruits. And it says blessed, and she will never die again because she's a spirit being. Such a second death has no power, but notice the term second death. We're not just talking about those individuals who were, you know, the baby that Elijah resurrected and died again. We're talking about another second death. We'll get to that later. And they'll be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So, okay, reigning 1,000 years. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, again a resurrection chapter. And just going through that, and it's saying that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom. You have to be spirit being in order to be in the kingdom. So we're flesh and blood now. We die. We're raised. I didn't mean to do that. Okay, go back a little more. Okay. So we're raised and we're changed to spirit being. And it says it happens at the return of Jesus Christ. And I'm assuming most of you are familiar with 1 Corinthians 15. And I won't go through and read its entirety, but just a couple of little things here. As verse 50, now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, where the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And it's talking about that change to immortality. So we will live forever after that. Okay, now let's focus, because 6,000 years of history are done, right? The first fruits, the righteous, are changed to spirit being, and they're going to live and reign with Christ during this period of time. So what happens during this millennium? Now, right here, 3.5 years before the return of Christ, there's been a lot of bad stuff going on. You know, we've got plagues, and we've got disease, and we got wars, and we got billions of people dying. And in all of this, and the tribulation, and the wars, and the, when Christ is attacked and he goes against them, a lot of people will die, but there'll be a small percentage of people in the millions left, or maybe a billion or whatever, but just a relatively small group. Through that, don't have to repeat it. Okay. And I'll call these the uncalled living, because all people through 6,000 years who didn't have God's Spirit are the uncalled. Now they're the called living. So they're living on earth, and God opens their minds during the millennium. Okay, so we can't call them the uncalled anymore. Zechariah 14, verse 16, who are these people? It shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts. And so with all the battles, with all the plagues, with all the deaths and all the things that have gone on before the return of Christ, there will be several millions of people alive. They will be the ones left of all the nations that hadn't been destroyed during the tribulation. And they will go up to worship God from year to year because their minds will be open. They'll begin keeping the Feast of Tabernacles. They'll be keeping the Sabbath day. They'll be following God's way and their minds will be open. Okay? Now, the question comes, and people will be, you know, there'll be a person that's maybe 60 years old that survives the tribulation and lives on into the millennium. And let's say that person lives another 40 years, you know, to become another Maddie. And that person then dies here 40 years into the millennium. You've got people that have children and the children live maybe they live a good long life and 100 years and so they die in here. And then they have children. And there are people having children during the millennium and reproducing and dying. And the question people ask is what happens when these people die? Let's say that Bob is, the 60-year-old here, that at the return of Christ he's 60 and he dies at 100 and he's 40, 100 years old, 40 years in. What happens when he dies? Okay, I will have to put this in speculation because the Bible doesn't specifically say, at least where I can find. If somebody has a scripture that would point that out, I'd like to hear what it is, seriously. But I would speculate that when Bob here dies at age 100, 40 years into the millennium, that he would then become a new spirit being. If he lived the righteous life, he had his mind open, he was baptized, accepted the sacrifice of Christ, and understands God's plan, and he lives a good 40 years and dies, why would he be buried again? I don't know why that would be the case. So I'm speculating that when you die, however that would happen, then you become a spirit being, and you join the first fruit spirit beings that would be, they join our team. Because we'll have been serving them, living and reigning with Christ 1,000 years. Okay. And then as time goes on and his children die, that they also would be resurrected. Now you also have people who during the millennium who have the truth revealed to them. Okay. I'll go back to that one. They have the truth revealed to them. They receive God's Spirit. And then they reject it and say, I don't want any of this, even without Satan's influence. There'll probably be people like that. I don't know where the people at the beginning of the millennium who, Ezekiel 38, in that period, that go against Jerusalem and they're killed and there'll be 7 years of burying the dead bodies and that type of thing. I don't know. They may have a chance to be in the great white throne judgment. I don't know, how called they will have been. Probably not. There'll be people at the end of the millennium that it says, Satan will be loosed and they'll gather themselves from Gog and Magog and fight against Jerusalem or go to fight against Jerusalem and be killed. I don't know what their state is. That's again, God's judgment. But let's say that these people knowingly rebel. So then you've got the new unrighteous dead. They join the unrighteous dead that have been dead through the 6,000 years of history when they die, and now you've got new unrighteous dead. Okay, so you got unrighteous dead, and they've been dead from the time they died. When they had a chance to know the truth and rejected it. And so now you got others that are dead. And as time goes on, you get new spirit beings during the millennium. That's my assertion. Otherwise, it could be at the end of the great white throne judgment that they're re-resurrected or whatever. I don't know. But we'll see. It'll be fun, whatever happens. Okay. Now, Revelation 20, verse 5, again, it says, but the rest of the dead, and again, it says these are the first fruit spirit beings, the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. So now we get to the end of the millennium and there is a great resurrection. So the previously uncalled dead, then, Revelation 20:11, I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were open. The books of the Bible are open to their knowledge. They have understanding so they can know the truth, and it's revealed to them. Their minds are open, and then they're able to respond. And so they now become the called. Now, they've previously been uncalled, the resurrected, and now they have a knowledge of the truth during this great white throne judgment. Ezekiel chapter 37 is that chapter that talks about Israel being raised up and to physical life. And it says that flesh was put on their bones and they had breath breathed into them. And so, again, this is from the grave to here. They're not spirit beings, but they're raised back to physical life. They had a physical life at some time back here in 6,000 years, and now they're raised to physical life. Verse 11 says, he said to me, son of man, these bones of the whole house of Israel, they indeed say our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we're cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord, behold, O my people, I'll open your graves, cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you to the land of Israel. And then you shall know that I am the Lord, when I've opened your graves, O my people, and have brought you up from your graves. And again, previously it talks about sinews being put on them and breath being breathed into them. And so not a spirit, but a physical life resurrection. But then he opens their minds, most importantly. You'll know I, the Lord, have opened your graves, and I will put my spirit in you, and you shall, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land, and then you shall know I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. So now they become the called. Isaiah chapter 65 talks about it, a child dying at 100, and the old man will live 100 years. Down just below that, it says that my people will live as long as trees. So it'll be a time where they'll live a long period of time, and we're guesstimating the 100 years because of that statement. It's not in stone. I've had some personal speculation that maybe everybody is not raised right at this time, but they may be raised in some waves. I think right after the feast, I talked about that, about, you know, the first being last and last first, and maybe, you know, with those multiple graves where the latest are on top, they're raised and have the truth, and then sometime their relative is raised and they'll deal with them, and they'll deal with people all the way back to the beginning. I don't know, but just a speculation. You can't disprove it, and I can't prove it. So, but there is this resurrection to physical life where they get a chance to know and understand God's truth. And when they die, at the end of the great white throne judgment, I don't know if it's a death as much as like you and I will happen to us, all things considered, when we'll be changed to spirit being at the return of Christ. So at the end of this, these people are changed, and you've got the first fruit spirit beings that will have been changed at the return of Christ. You got new spirit beings added during the millennium, and now at the end of the great white throne judgment, you've got new spirit beings, and then most will be children of God, spirit-born children of God, like Christ in attitude and mind and composition. Okay, now we're still waiting on the unrighteous dead, though. At the end of the great white throne judgment, Everybody will have been turned to spirit being except those that rejected God. There could be some, there'd probably be some during the great white throne judgment that just won't have any of God's way in spite of the fact that the whole world is basically that way. And God doesn't want them there if they don't want to be there. It'd be like Satan and a third of the angels that didn't want a part of God's plan, and so he cast them out. But with man, these people who had known the truth, had an understanding of it, and rejected it, what happens to them? Hebrews 10:26 says, if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. It says, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. If you turned your back on God today, you knowing the truth, and say, I don't want any other part of it, the indication here is that you die, that's not the end of it. It says there's a fearful expectation of judgment. So what would your judgment be if you turn your back knowingly on God? Daniel 12 and verse 2 says, many of those whose bodies lie dead and buried will rise up, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting disgrace. Now it talks about the righteous rising up to everlasting life, but it said there will be some whose bodies are dead and buried but will rise up, and when they rise up, it will be not to eternal life, it will be to shame and everlasting disgrace. You could say, I'm just saying to get the idea of everlasting disgrace, you could say Adolf Hitler is dead and he has everlasting shame and disgrace for what he did. But these people, it says, will be raised up. It doesn't mean they'll live eternally, but it says what will happen to them. It says a fearful looking for of fiery indignation. And then a shame forever. That will be their memory. Revelation 20 verse 14 says, and then, this is after the dead, small and great, rise before God and have a chance during the great white throne judgment, then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Remember, it says the righteous that are raised with Christ at his return have no fear of the second death. Now it talks about the second death. Well, in order to have a second death, you got to have a first death. That would be the righteous, unrighteous people who died. Now they're resurrected, but we'll have a second death. And this one will be an eternal death. Anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So you've got the unrighteous who rejected God, says that they will be raised up from the ground and thrown into the lake of fire. Malachi 4 verse 1 says, behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly will be stubble, and the day which is coming will burn them up, and you shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. Now, you might say, well, that's not very nice of God to raise these people up just to kill them again. This is what God says is going to happen. So whether you understand why or what the process is and why he would do that and is too mean or whatever, that's, you know, these people rejected God. And it's going to be for a witness to all those who will be spirit being of the right choice that they've made. And again, to be thankful for being given eternal life, for being faithful. For whatever reason he does that, says they're going to be resurrected and then be ashes. And ashes does not mean they're living forever. It means they're ashes. Okay, they should become ashes under the soles of your feet. The people that rejected God will make an ash out of themselves. Okay. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. And verses 7 through 14 continue describing this, and the lake of fire begins at the beginning of the millennium, and it's a fire and that says the beast and false prophet are cast into, and you know whether that, I mean it'll burn them up, and whether that's their final or they get a chance at the great white throne judgment or not, I don't know. But anyway, that is not just the lake of fire. It's not this valley of Hinnom that's burning temporarily. The real lake of fire is where it says, I was in Peter a second ago. Can't find, where's Peter go? It was in here earlier. 2 Peter 3. It's 1 Peter 3. I can see this. I got it. You calling me an old man? Okay, I don't got it. Okay. Verse 7, it says, but the heavens and the earth which are now present, oh, thank you. The heavens and the earth which are now preserved by the same word are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. And so the unrighteous dead, there's something reserved for them. And verse 8 says, but beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, a day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day. That's why I think some of these timings, you know, that we think, well, it's got to be exactly 100 years, or, you know, the millennium is exactly 1,000 or whatever, you know, we're not as tied, God's not as tied to time as we are. But at any rate, verse 9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And it's saying at this time that the earth is going to be burned up and the unrighteous will be burned up, his will is that all would come to repentance. And although you can read scripture in a little different way, my reading seems to indicate that he wants all to have a chance, and that the majority of mankind are eventually going to be a part of his God family, not cut off, not destroyed, but only those who take that hard line against God after having the knowledge of the truth. And that's why, you know, sometimes we say, well, that person, they're done, they're in the lake of fire. Well, you don't know that. God knows the heart and he knows the circumstance. I think there are people who have been, we've had a couple of deaths in Phoenix of young men who, they had bipolar issues and problems and just some not able to process and really did some pretty awful things and ended up committing suicide. It's my personal feeling that these people were in a very dark place and weren't responsible for their actions, much more than a person with Alzheimer's is responsible when that mind goes. I do not see God as looking to try to get rid of us. And I think he's really wanting us as his children, and where our children go astray, you know, we do anything we can to get them on the track. We're not looking to get them. And I think that's the way it is with mankind, that God wants most to be there, and I feel they will. But there will be those that will simply reject him. Verse 10 says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat, and both the earth and the works therein will be burned up. And this lake of fire is not just a place where bad people are burned, but it says the earth and the heavens will melt with fervent heat, and he'll establish a new heaven and new earth. And it's okay that that's done, because it'll just be the righteous that are there. They'll be burned up, ashes under the soles of your feet. The rest of mankind will be eternal and won't be killed. Verse 11, therefore, since all these things be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening to the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. You'll be burned up if you're not faithful to God. And we don't, he's not trying to do this as a fear tactic, and we only want to obey him because we don't want to be burned up forever. But he says, just consider, it is going to happen if we do reject him. And look what we have if we don't. It says, nevertheless, according to his promise, look for the new heavens and the new earth in which righteousness dwells, because God the Father will descend from heaven, bring a new heaven and a new earth, and the other will be destroyed. And then all will be spirit being sons of God. Revelation 21:1 says, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. They shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And that is where we all want to be. And that's why we keep striving, drawing close to God, serving one another, developing that mind of Christ.